And we're back for part four. This will be the final part. If we have to go long, we're going to go long. This will be the final part. We're going to finish talking about the essay, All They Have Is Fear, by Jack Donovan. It reminds me of something else. I have this friend. He's on OkCupid. As am I. And he is a large individual in the sense that he lifts weights, he has muscles, the guy's buff. And he very seldom uses a site, he just keeps the account because he can. And so every once in a while he checks in to see who's been looking at his profile and who's been liking him and all that. And it's amazing the number of fat women that send him messages. And I don't understand, if you're a fat woman, and I'm not talking about chubby, I'm talking fat women. If you're a fat woman, why would you think somebody who's like 6'4" and has arms like the size of my entire body, who goes to the gym 6 days a week, would want you? Why do you think, what is going through your mind that makes you say, wow, that guy is really buff. He obviously goes to the gym a lot. He's got huge muscles. He probably really wants to fuck a woman like me who weighs 250 pounds and is all fat and flabby and lazy. What makes you think that? What fucking fantasy world do you live in where a man like him would have any interest in a fat piece of shit like you? I know, I'm racist, sexist, and homophobic, and I want to say this. I want to say this to you. Oh shit, I'm spilling my martini. I have a martini in my hand. It's going to be a good podcast. God damn it, I'm spilling shit. I want to say this. I am not going to disavow the Ku Klux Klan. Before you even ask, great one. You have been endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan. Will you disavow them? The answer is no. I will not disavow the Ku Klux Klan because I have never avowed them. I have spent, how long on this podcast have I been talking about how much I fucking hate Democrats? And since the Ku Klux Klan is part of the Democrat Party, why in the fuck would I ever avow the Ku Klux Klan? So no, I do not disavow the Ku Klux Klan. Thank you for asking. And I almost spilled my martini because I'm a dumbass. It's still the 29th of February. This is the fourth podcast Randy and I have recorded today. We are kicking ass and taking names because I'm enjoying this. This is good. This is a good conversation. By conversation, I mean it's me talking. Well, also Stefan Molyneux and then also Jack Donovan. All right, so meanwhile, the Jack Donovan essay. We got about 12 minutes left in this. Hopefully I can get this into a 52-minute podcast, but you guys know how the fuck I digress. Tangenting is the new word we're using for that here at the podcast. I'm sure it's similar to mansplaining. Anyway, I am the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. This is part four in a series of podcasts. If you haven't listened to the previous three, then what you hear here isn't going to have full context. And if you're too stupid to go back and listen to other podcasts, you can suck a dick. All right, and if you're a woman or a tranny or a minority and you're offended because I said that, yes, I am racist, sexist, and homophobic. Go fuck yourself. All right. Do I have anything else I need to say, Randy? Oh, in the control room, lovely and adorable Randy. She's over there. And God, thank you. God. The email address is God. That's dog spelled backwards. G-O-D at CYNLIBSOC.com. On, as I always say, the motherfucking interwebs. All right, and one second, I see, is this anything important? This is not important. All right, I am now officially ignoring email. Let's do this. I don't even remember where we are in Jack Donovan's essay. And then I'm dropping things. All right, Randy, hit the play button. Let's find out what Jack Donovan is talking about, and we'll pick it up. Again, the essay is called All They Have Is Fear. It's by Jack Donovan. He also wrote a book called The Way of Men. It's available on Amazon.com. I highly suggest you read this book. I have read the book. It is a very good book. It is not an anarcho-capitalist book, but it is a book about men being men. And as I explained, if you've listened to the whole series, I've explained why this is important. Because when we are making the transition, if the transition is ever going to be made, and it may not ever happen, but if the transition is going to happen from a statist society to a stateless society, men being defined as men who are not pajama boy sissies, men who don't need fucking Kotex maxi pads, men who can fix things, men who can repair things, men who can defend themselves and their friends and their families, men who are competent, men who have skill sets, men who are inventive, men who make things happen. Men are going to be needed to make that happen, unlike what the anarcho-sissies believe, which is the state is just going to collapse and everything's going to stay just like it is, because it just will. It'll be exactly like it is today, only there'll be no government. Which is, of course, one of the stupidest fucking fantasies you can possibly imagine. As soon as the state goes away, as soon as we enter a stateless society, there is nothing circumventing natural selection anymore. And at that point, all the people on food stamps will die. At that point, all the corporations that get bailouts will go out of business. At that point, the rioting for food will begin. And that is when the men will have to defend their food by shooting the inferior people. Natural selection, oh glorious, glorious, wonderful, beautiful natural selection will take place. The people who contribute nothing to the people around them other than being parasites will finally die off. Either they will starve to death and die, or they will get shot while trying to steal or rape or kill, or they will simply stop being parasites. They'll figure out how to create value for other people and create value for other people, and thus be able to acquire their own food and shelter and clothing. But whatever happens, however it turns out, natural selection will be back.
Being found out as a racist can make you virtually unemployable in the age of search engines.
Yes.
If you have a business, you may be boycotted.
Hang on.
And other businesses
Randy,
may cancel
pause it.
Your...
Why, oh why, is volume level so low? All right, we should have tested this before we went live, obviously. And yes, I know you guys love hearing us fuck up. Play it. Yes, glorious silence. It's kind of like natural selection. This is kind of like natural selection right here. What in the fuck? All right, hold on. Pause the recording. We don't do this very often. We're pausing the fucking recording while we fix a technical glitch.
Or evolved. You believe exactly what you've been told to believe.
We backed up a little
bit. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back.
Pat yourself on the back for not being racist.
Throughout the Western world, there are major social and financial risks associated with being racist, or being perceived as racist, or being associated with racists.
There are also risk to recording a podcast and not checking the equipment before you actually start fucking recording, and just assuming shit's going to work. So, but see, we take responsibility for our fuck-ups here.
In mainstream social circles, you'll be ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a celebrity, your career will be over. If you apologize, no one will believe you. Mainstream politicians call each other racists and compete to outdo each other.
Yep.
Preaching diversity and token pimping.
Which is interesting if you're Senator Robert Byrd, a former member of the Ku Klux Klan, yet nobody will point out that you were a member of the Ku Klux Klan and might be a little bit racist. But holy shit, right? If your name is Donald Trump and you've never been a member of the Ku Klux Klan, well, people will come to you. By people, I mean journalists. They're not really people. So, journalists and social justice warriors, neither of which are people in any sense of what the word actually means, will come to you and say, will you disavow the Ku Klux Klan? Nobody will ask Senator Robert Byrd. Of course, the cocksucker's dead now, thank goodness, and one world is better off without him. But nobody would ask that piece of shit to disavow the Ku Klux Klan. Well, because he's a white liberal Democrat.
If you're an employee, being found out as a racist can make you virtually unemployable in the age of search engines. If you have a business, you may be boycotted, and other businesses may cancel your accounts to avoid associating with you.
And remember,
all of this. If you're an academic, you will be attacked in the media, and you may even lose your job for coming to a conclusion that seems racist.
Yes, for example, the conclusion that there are differences in IQ based on race. Now, I talked about that a while back. I mentioned it in passing. I said I had not researched it. Since then, I still have not done what I consider enough research to form a conclusion, but I've done a little bit of research, and so far, all the data I have found showing breakdowns of IQ scores, not adjusted, showing IQ scores broken down by race, have all pointed to the same thing. The smartest people, the highest IQs, are white people and Asians. The group, the race, that has the overall lowest IQ is black people. Yes, I know, I'm racist. But regardless of how racist I am, this is what the data shows. And virtually all of this data has come from colleges. College research, you know, the nexus of political correctness. All of this stuff Donovan is talking about right here, it's all fear-based, right? It's all to get you to say things like, there is no such thing as race, that men and women are the same, there's no difference between, and all of this, it's just fear, right? If you're not willing to say that, if you're not going to say, I'm against racism, which, as Donovan points out, doesn't exactly take a lot of fucking bravery, to tell people you're against racism, ooh, that you're not brave. But if you're not willing to come out and fucking hashtag Black Lives Matter all the fucking moments of your life, and if you're not willing to disavow the KKK, right, the social justice warriors and all the other cocksuckers will try to smear you and insult you and degrade you and make it so that nobody else will associate with you. And they get you to do what they want you to do via fear. You know, if you don't hashtag Black Lives Matter 3 times a day like I do, I'm going to put on the internet that you're a racist and make sure you never get another job. And again, this illustrates to you the fact that the shit they say, they don't understand it, they have no reasons for it, and they cannot convince. I mean, these are people who are so fucking pathetic. They cannot convince other people to not be racist with anything other than threats. Okay? Again, I'm with trying to say this without making any kind of value judgments. If not being racist is a good thing, you should be able to present some kind of objective empirical data and evidence to illustrate that not being racist is a good thing. Do social justice warriors do this? No. Social justice warriors engage in insulting threats and name-calling. Just like with Donald Trump. You have to disavow the KKK. I still haven't seen the evidence of when Donald Trump avowed the KKK.
Whether it is true or not. In Europe, you can be arrested for writing or saying something openly racist or xenophobic.
Of course. And of course, in Europe, if you're a Muslim,
saying
man,
something that could be perceived as racist or in any way derogatory about another group, whether it is true or not.
Right. Truth doesn't matter.
Actually takes courage.
Exactly.
Being a racist or a xenophobe actually takes balls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There are no social, financial, or legal penalties for saying that you are against racism
right.
or xenophobia. None. Self-proclaimed anti-fascists who want to get a danger boner fighting racism actually have to hunt down accused racists and harass them in the street.
Right.
Hoping for some sort of scuffle. And when they do it knowing that they'll be absolved of any potential legal hassle by the lawyers who will either volunteer to fight racism in court for them pro bono or be paid by any number of well-funded and well-established anti-racist activist organizations.
Right. Another advantage of being a social justice warrior is that there are all these other tools out there who are willing to come to your defense regardless of what you do. I'm a social justice warrior. If you harm another person, if you hit another person, if you steal another person's property, if you damage their property, if you make accusations against them that you cannot substantiate with any type of facts or evidence, none of that matters. There's all these other fucking loser social justice warriors who, like you, have no identity outside of the hive collective of, I am a social justice warrior, I am multicultural, tolerant, and diverse, and that's why anybody who is different than me is somebody I will insult and attack and ridicule and attempt to frighten into having the exact same belief system I have because I believe in tolerance, diversity, and multiculturalism.
It takes absolutely no courage.
None.
To say you're against racism.
Zero courage.
Or xenophobia.
Right. He's right.
Because there are absolutely no risks.
There are no risks.
Anti-racism.
He's right.
Orchestrated integration. Multiculturalism.
Ugh.
Pro-immigration. Ugh. Anti-xenophobia. Anti-profiling. Anti-stereotyping. Diversity is strength.
Ugh.
These are all establishment ideas. And
right.
Default positions
yep.
that are socially rewarded
mm-hmm.
and affirmed.
Yep. And don't
Risks
require thinking.
Only come from challenging these ideas in some way or other.
Exactly.
So and who's really afraid?
The social justice warrior.
The same can be...
The social justice warrior is afraid. They are terrified because they know that all of the tactics they use against people who disagree with them will be used against them if they step out of line. The social justice warrior knows that they have to submerge their personalities into the group collective. Because the social justice warrior, she knows that if she steps out of line with what she is told to believe by the collective will turn around and attack her. Look at, for example, the guy who was one of the founding members of Greenpeace, and then he just got tired of Greenpeace's bullshit. Look how Greenpeace has attacked him in the past. And look at Warren Farrell, who was... Warren Farrell is a man. He was on the board of directors or something, whatever, of that level, for the National Organization of Women. I think two times for I don't know how long total. But he was in a leadership position, a decision-making position, in the National Organization for Women. But then he dared to disagree with the femistatist cunts. And now they hate him and attack him. The social justice warrior, in addition to all the other things that make her a piece of shit, she knows that she cannot leave the reservation. She must always toe the line and believe whatever she is told to believe by the collective, because the first time she has a fucking thought of her own, she will not simply be abandoned by the collective. She will not just be disavowed by the collective. I may have to start using that word a lot more because it's just so fucking ridiculous. She will be attacked. She will be assaulted. She will be defamed. She will be insulted. She will be raped by the collective. And the collective will do everything it can to ruin her life in the name of tolerance, diversity, and multiculturalism.
Said of outright sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and any of the other initiatives that progressives say secretly scare men to death.
Mm-hmm.
How many male politicians would ever dare imply that things would be better off if women didn't vote?
Mm.
Or if they hadn't been encouraged to seek equal pay and treatment in the workforce?
Yes.
It's illegal in most places to start...
Stop. Jesus, why is the pause button not working? Hashtag why women should not vote. Again, I just want to refer to you, Judgy Bitch, judgybitch.com. Go there, read her article, watch the video about why women should not vote. He brought it up. I just want to reinforce it. No, women should not vote. I know you're offended. I don't give a fuck. Again, it's the truth. It does not matter. I understand as a social justice warrior, you cannot differentiate or you cannot comprehend how your emotional responses are different from reality. I understand that when I, or Judgy Bitch, say that women should not vote, I understand you have an emotional response to that. What you don't understand is that your emotional response does not alter the fact that women should not vote. Again, this is a difference between the superior person, such as myself, and the inferior person, such as the social justice warrior. Like, for example, I use me as an example again. I have an emotional response to the fact, it is a fact, it is an empirical fact, there is verifiable objective data. I have an emotional response to the fact that the CSU women's volleyball team is not having sex with me. I have an emotional response to that. I'm very angry and pissed off and hurt and upset that the CSU women's volleyball team is not having sex with me. They are not having sex with me. That is an objective empirical fact. The fact that I am having an emotional response to that does not mean they should come have sex with me. They are not obligated by my emotional response. My emotional response does not control other people. It does not alter reality. It is my emotional response. It is my responsibility to manage my emotional response. So when I say to you, women should not vote, which is something that can be empirically supported by looking at the fact of what do women vote for? To spend more money, to more welfare, to get free stuff for them, to go to war, to let in immigrants who, like in Europe, go in and rape a bunch of women. You look at the white feather movement, prohibition, all this shit that women pushed and voted for and supported. You look at what women do when they get political power. You have empirical evidence that women should not be voting. It does not matter. It does not matter. It does not matter what your emotional response is. Again, right? Women do not make 78 cents for every dollar a man makes. That is an emotional response. The empirical data shows women are not making less money than men, and the empirical data shows us that among young men and women with equal degrees, all this stuff, women make slightly more money. Your emotional response that women make less money than men does not alter the fact. It does not make this true. Your emotional response that you think you should be voting does not mean you should be voting any more than my emotional response that says the CSU women's volleyball team should have sex with me says they should come over and have sex with me.
They secretly scare men to death.
Yeah, we're so scared of you.
How many male politicians would ever dare imply that things would be better off if women didn't vote? If they hadn't been encouraged to seek equal pay and treatment in the workforce. It's illegal in most places to start a business that excludes women as employees or customers.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently God won't help you if you refuse to bake lesbians a wedding cake.
However, you can start a business that excludes men because men and women are equal. And that's why having a business that excludes women as customers is illegal, but having a business that excludes men as customers is completely legal because men and women are equal.
after they smear you in the media, they'll sue you and ruin you financially.
Because it's about money.
Every male employee of every major company knows he can be fired
for
saying something insensitive.
Right.
Or which could be possibly perceived subjectively by someone else as sexual or threatening.
Which is pretty much anything you would ever say.
A tattoo client of mine was recently told by his human resources department that he was too manly. And needed to be more gender fluid. Because his certainty about his gender might make those who were uncertain of their genders uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. There's the fucking code. There it is. That is the pivotal word. Let's say it with me again. What is the directive of culture in the United States of America? To ensure that no white woman ever experiences discomfort. And we can throw trannies into that, because trannies are either women who want to be men and thus are therefore women who can never be uncomfortable, or they are men who want to be women and are therefore women who can never be uncomfortable. Really, we're going to tell a man that he must be less certain of his sexuality, of his gender, so that people who aren't sure what gender they are aren't offended. What have I said about how democracy reduces everything to the level of the most inferior person in a society? I'm telling you right now, there's the struggle. Like, black people are kind of over with. You're not the apex victim anymore. Right now, we're still having the struggle for who is the apex victim between women and homosexuals. I think at the moment, women are edging the homosexuals out, but the up-and-coming apex victim group is the trannies. The trannies are going to get to the top. I think it's going to happen really soon. They are going to become the apex victim. And ultimately, this is all leading to the ascension to the position of apex victim by the pedophiles. And as I and other people have predicted, pedophilia will be legalized at some point. It will happen certainly within my lifetime. It will be completely legal for 40-year-old, I don't even want to call them men, 40-year-old biological beings to have sexual relationships with 8-year-old children. It's going to happen because this is what they're pushing for. And once the pedophile becomes the apex victim, they will be given anything and everything they desire, which is basically just 8-year-olds.
He was asked to shave his beard and wear baggy clothes to hide his muscular frame.
Wear baggy clothes. We're telling you
the Harrison Bergeron world of the handicapper general is no longer dystopian fiction. It's becoming dystopian fact. Every male student and every soldier has been subjected to hours upon hours of training about sexual harassment and cultural sensitivity.
Everything is
They've
sexual harassment.
They've all signed policy statements and handbooks telling them the penalties for doing or saying or even implying the wrong thing.
That's right. God forbid you imply something.
They know that they'll be punished, not only by institutions, but by the people that they call friends and maybe their families.
Oh, yeah, because when it comes to fucking political correctness and social justice, everybody's a goddamn sheep. Nobody can think for themselves. Once you're accused of being racist or sexist or homophobic or a racist, you know, any kind of critical thinking shuts down. Like with Roosh. Roosh, he's a rapist. Okay, as Roosh himself said, find the woman who says I've raped her. If I'm a rapist, if I've raped all these women, you should be able to find one. Now, apparently, somebody came forward and said they did find a woman who claims that Roosh raped her. I'm not up on the current events, but again, it certainly took long enough. But in this sort of situation, he's right. The evidence and such as that does not matter. Once you're accused of these things, everybody is going to turn against you, including your so-called friends and family. That's why you got to be careful about who you select. As you can't select your family, not really. I mean, you can select not to associate with them, but you can't necessarily select who your mother. You can't select who your mother and father are. You can't select who your brothers are. You can associate or dissociate with them, but you have to choose your friends wisely. You have to choose people who are capable of at least some level of rational thought, because at some point, according to the social justice warriors, everybody is going to be accused of racism, sexism, homophobia, because again, victimhood is how they get their power. If they're not being victimized, you know, they have to accuse somebody of being a victimizer. There always has to be some kind of victimhood going on for the social justice warrior to have any kind of power, because again, as individual people, they do not exist. They do not have abilities, they don't have skill sets, they don't have competencies, they don't have intelligence, they don't have a life. All they have is what the collective allows them to have and provides for them, because they are parasitical in every possible regard.
And that is what they're really afraid of. When a woman says she's for equal rights, or that she thinks people should help refugees, or that she's against racism, I chalk it up to natural empathy and moral signaling.
Right. Moral signaling.
She's telling people that she is of high moral virtue, based on the criteria of the society that she lives in.
Exactly. And she's looking for attention
and validation.
Instead of
making a big deal about being a lady or...
And she's looking for access to free resources. To get free resources, she needs a man to give her free resources. So she does this moral signaling to try to get men to give her free stuff. Again, this is why we see even less and less moral signaling as women recognize and get to the point where they don't need individual men to give them resources. They get their resources from all men via the government, via the welfare, the free birth control, the fucking free healthcare, the free abortions, the WIC, the food stamps, all of this other stuff.
A Christian or a virgin, she's hard signaling the only kind of moral purity anyone cares about here in this international empire of nothing. When a man makes sure to tell me that he's against racism or sexism or xenophobia or homophobia or transphobia, or whatever the thing of the day is.
When a man has to, as I've said before, when somebody has to tell you they are, it's because they're not. I will never come on this podcast and tell you that I'm not a racist, because when the day comes I have to tell you I'm not a racist, that's your best indicator I'm a racist. When somebody tells me they believe in tolerance and diversity, I know that they will silence me. They will attempt to silence me the first time I disagree with them. When somebody tells me they believe in freedom of speech, I know they will attempt to silence me the first time I disagree with them. When somebody tells me they believe men and women are equal, I know good and goddamn well that this person thinks that women are better than men and that women should be allowed to hit men, but men should not be allowed to hit women because men and women are equal. Whatever the fuck you say to me, I know it's not true. That's why you're telling me. And it goes, as he's pointing out, even more so for men. When a woman says it, she's saying it because women as a whole, this is not just the femistatist and the social justice warriors. Well, let me start here. As I have said, and I stand behind this, women are not capable of having morality. If you're new to the podcast, you've never heard this before, I'll tangent a little bit. Men cannot have babies. We do not have the biological systems in place to produce an egg, which is fertilized by a sperm cell, and then carry a baby around inside us for 9 months and give birth to it. We cannot give babies. Women are not capable of being moral animals. Women cannot differentiate on their own the difference between right and wrong. This is not something where there are exceptions. Like when I say women are not competent at work, and then I say, yes, I know some women are competent at work, I'm not talking about them. No, I'm every woman alive. Women do not have the brain function, the biological wetware in their skulls. They are not capable of differentiating right from wrong. Women have one purpose, survival. They survive by finding a man to give them free resources. They spit out a baby. The reason they're so attached to their children is not because they care about children. They're attached to their children because the children, when the man they're married to who gives them free resources dies, the children will still be alive to continue giving them free resources so they can live their entire life until they die of old age receiving free resources from other people. This is why children are so valuable to women. Not because they love their children or they care about the children or any of this other bullshit. They are parasites on other people. Now, this is not a value. I'm not saying women are evil or bad because of this. This is biological. This is how it is. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. It's how it is. So when women engage in moral posturing, again, as Donovan said, right, these people who are like, I'm anti-racist, they did not reason and logic their way to being against racism. They are anti-racist because that's what it's cool to be right now. That's what they were told to be by the collective. When you hear a woman doing this moral posturing, she's just making noises that she thinks you want to hear so that she can get free resources. A woman cannot be racist or anti-racist because a woman does not have the brain capacity to make those kinds of decisions. And when a man tells you, I'm against racism, he's just a white knighting beta male who needs to go change his fucking Kotex, providing he can still get some Kotex at the grocery store and Megyn Kelly hasn't already bought all of them up when she was in town.
I see is fear. He's afraid of losing his job.
Right.
He's afraid of losing customers.
That's why he's saying
this. He's afraid
of
getting kicked out of school.
Yep.
He's afraid of being smeared by the media.
Right.
He's afraid of getting sued.
Right.
He's afraid of losing his house.
Yep.
He's afraid of losing the support of his friends and family.
Who aren't really friends.
He's afraid of losing his wife or his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's signed the manuals. He's watched the videos and the PowerPoint presentations. He knows the rules. And he's seen what happens to men who break them.
Men assert the social justice warriorism because they are afraid. That's what Donovan said. I agree with this. But you say, but great one, what about the men who are social justice warriors because they're just hoping that if they're social justice-y warrior enough, some woman will finally eventually have sex with them? Absolutely. And that is also called fear. They are afraid that they will die without ever having sex. And so they go into the social justice warrior sphere and they say all of this shit and they mouth it passionately, hoping that eventually some woman will be so impressed with their dedication to Black Lives Matter that she will finally consent in triplicate to having sex with him.
A lot of men are afraid to even think the thoughts that lead to saying the words that could get them in trouble.
Oh yeah, thought control.
It's scary. I get it.
It is scary.
I only became self-employed a couple of years ago.
And that's the path.
And there's no guarantee that that will last forever.
Everyone should seek.
I worked for 20 years, signing manuals and policy statements.
I've signed mine also.
I've watched the mandatory videos.
Me too.
I don't come from money.
Me either.
And I've never had much of a safety net.
Same here. And I've gone to, I talked about this way back in the, we can go way back to the dark ages when I worked at CSU. You've heard all this before if you go back in the podcast, right? I've been to the sexual harassment training at CSU 3 times. All 3 times because one person who worked in our department, he's the trifecta. I've talked about him extensively. He's the trifecta. He was old, he is crippled, and he was black. He filled 3 quota slots. The trifecta. He would fucking sexually harass women right there in full view of everyone. Right there in the front lobby, in front of the receptionist, in front of other clients of the department we worked in front of other employees, walked right up to a woman he did not know, slapped her on the ass and said something to the effect of, "Hey, baby, you got a hot ass." Does anything happen to him? Fuck no. Everybody in the whole goddamn department, men and women included, have to go to the fucking training and listen to some fucking cunt from HR tell us what sexual harassment is. Instead of just dealing with him, we all have to fucking sit there. If you've had any kind of job at any kind of fucking business that, you know, involves more than 20 people, you've signed the papers, you've been to the training, you've been degraded, humiliated, insulted, all in the name of social warrior justicing.
A man's gotta eat. But where does it end? How many phobias are you going to allow them to make up to exploit your fear of being afraid?
When do you man up?
How many impossible things are you going to agree to believe?
When are you going to stop needing a fucking maxi pad? When are you going to stop bleeding between your legs and just fucking grab your ball sack? And you don't have to go out and shoot trannies and shit. I'm not saying to hate these people. And I have to fucking actually explain this for the stupid people out there. I'm not saying to kill people you don't like. I'm not saying to actively dislike the people you don't like. Just stop with all of this being so terrified that you just can't shut the fuck up about how wonderful the trannies are. Again, just here's how this really fucking works if you have anything resembling a ball sack. In your personal life, if you don't like black people, trannies, women, homosexuals, whatever the fuck group it is, American Indians, one-legged Jews, whatever the fuck it is, whatever group of people you don't like, then just don't associate with them. You don't go out of your way to be mean to them. You don't steal their shit. You don't insult them. You don't kill them. You don't ridicule them. You just don't bother them, and they won't bother you. Right? It's like rattlesnakes. When I'm out trail running, I see a fucking rattlesnake. I don't bother the rattlesnake. The rattlesnake doesn't bother me. We both get along just fucking fine. And if you work with these people, if it's a work environment, if they're competent at doing their job, it doesn't matter. If I don't like trannies and I work with a tranny and the tranny is really fucking good at doing her job, who gives a shit? Because you're not there to be friends with people. It's a fucking job. You're there to accomplish a task together in order to get paid money so that you can go do shit you want to do and buy food and pay your rent and all this other shit. So if you work with people, you don't have to like people to work with them. You have to just work with them. You get along with them. You're polite to them. You're nice to them. When they say, "Hey, could you email that fucking report to me?" Or, "How are you doing on your part of this? I need you to finish this so that I can do this." You just do whatever you need to do in order to move towards accomplishing the common goal all of you are trying to accomplish. It's that fucking simple. But the social justice warrior cannot cope with this fucking concept. The social justice warrior does not believe that simply getting along with people you don't like is good enough. The social justice warrior needs you to approve of them, to celebrate them, to applaud how brave they are for being a homosexual or a tranny or a black person or a woman or whatever it is they're doing that is just so brave. And so they use the constant impetus of the threat. if you don't approve of this person, we are going to call you racist, sexist, homophobic. We're going to make you sign papers. We're going to send you to training. And if you don't start approving of them, we're going to have you fired, and we're going to blacklist you, and we're going to sue you, and we're going to make sure you never get another job.
When you stop falling for the same cheap trick,
Cheap
how many
trick
more
is a
times?
Good band.
Are you going to nod your head and say the words that you no longer believe?
I pledge allegiance to the
flag.
When
I see men on television arguing about who is more racist,
mm-hmm.
or sexist, or transphobic,
or
and
hasn't,
shaming each other,
and hasn't disavowed
as if
the
they've never said or thought the same things. Political pundits and even sportscasters seem to do it all day long.
Oh, God. Sportscasters with a
fucking
joke.
All I think to myself is, what a bunch of lying, opportunistic, money-hungry cunts.
Who need to change their Kotexes.
When I see a man apologize for offensive remarks.
Oh, God. Never
or
apologize.
Worse, claim to be offended by remarks. I see a scared, desperate man.
Yes.
Maybe he's protecting his family or his friends or even his employees. That's legitimate. I understand.
Yeah, and there are legitimate
times. But how
often
and for how long is he going to debase himself like that? Publicly supplicating himself. Supinating his open, outward stretched hand like a scared chimpanzee.
Oh, that was racist.
I know that career-destroying public statements are probably too much to ask for most guys. And there's no point or honor in arguing with women about what they believe unless you're dating them.
Exactly. Don't argue with a woman
men,
unless you're fucking her.
You can start by refusing to be afraid. By refusing to bullshit the guys you see every day.
Exactly.
Stop bullshitting each other.
Yes.
Stop assuming that other men believe the things that you don't believe. And just say what you actually do believe. If some guy gets offended and starts lecturing you, if he starts repeating all of the things he was taught in college or by the media,
mm-hmm.
just ignore him.
Exactly.
You
walk
probably
away.
Didn't have much in common, and he sounds like a cunt anyway.
Right. He's not your friend. Fucking
life is short.
Get him out of your
and
life.
The world is getting stupid.
Exactly.
Surround yourself with allies who
yes.
share your values.
Right. Eliminate
and
the toxic people.
If you've ever found yourself saying you support things that you don't even really care about because you think that's what people want to hear.
Oh, then
like
you need to
Patrick
change
Bateman,
your Kotex.
An American Psycho talking about ending apartheid and the nuclear arms race. Stop doing that, you sociopathic scumbag.
Exactly. Stop saying shit other people want to
if
hear.
Another man accuses you of being a racist or a sexist or a homophobe or a xenophobe, accuse him of being weak and afraid and easily manipulated.
Yes.
Accuse him of being too worried about his bottom line to think for himself or say what he means.
Accuse him of being a fucking
don't backpedal. Don't qualify that shit.
That's right.
If another man accuses you of being a racist or a sexist or a homophobe or a xenophobe, own it. And make him feel like a cunt for worrying about it.
Yes.
Progressives want to convince you that you're afraid if you disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that most men today are afraid to disagree with them.
Exactly.
Call them out on it. They're not afraid of strong women or dickless dudes or gay weddings or foreigners.
Right. Not afraid of them. It's not fear.
They're afraid to speak their minds because they're afraid of social and financial and in some case legal consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's real fear.
All of which, again, because we'll bring this back to anarcho-capitalism, all of these are enabled by the state. The fact that there are social, legal, economic, financial consequences to just not being a social justice warrior is all enabled by the state. Again, and again, I say it. democracy means that the government must always pander to the most inferior people in a society. And if you do anything that makes you better than the most inferior people, the inferior people will send the government to knock you down a notch and bring you back down to their level.
And they are painfully aware of it. Call them out on it. Call them cowards.
Because they are.
But if you do, you should probably also be prepared to get punched in the face by a guy who is really, profoundly afraid of what it means to be labeled a sexist, or a racist, or a xenophobe, or whatever other scare words they made up to manipulate him.
And it's all emotional blackmail. It's emotional manipulation. They don't have any understanding of anything. The social justice warrior runs on pure emotion. It's all about what makes them feel good and what results in them getting attention. It's all about how they can utilize their victim status or the victim status of other people. Again, the parasitism, if I can talk, of the social justice warrior who isn't even really a victim herself. She just latches on to other people's victimhood, real or imagined, and uses other people's victimhood, right? All of these people trying to get on board with Black Lives Matter. I mean, you know, they're not even black. They're just using the victimhood of black people to gain attention for themselves. They don't give a fuck about black people. They're using them. All of this, I'm an ally to the trannies. They don't give a fuck about trannies. They're using the trannies the way a parasite uses a host organism. And this is not an opinion. This is a fact. I don't bother with the other side because I am always right. Megyn Kelly, go change your fucking Kotex.